So again, warm welcome to everyone that's joined with us tonight. Nice to see you. Now, we had said the last time we spoke on a Sunday evening that we would maybe think about some of the parables, and I suppose if it was a children's meeting, I would have a penny caramel, although penny caramels ain't penny caramels anymore. I think there'd be 5 pence penny caramels nowadays. We'd have a penny caramel for anyone that could tell us which parable we're looking at tonight. And the second time, of course, gives it away. I thought we'd maybe look at the parable of the sower and the seeds, and we find that in Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 13. Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 13, the parable of the sower and the seeds. It's a parable that appears three times in the New Testament. It appears in Matthew, Mark and Luke. But we're just going to read Matthew's account of the parable in Matthew chapter 13. Now, some would say that really if we were thinking about the parables, we should really have started here rather than looked at the Good Samaritan. Remember, we started with the Good Samaritan, but some would say that this parable here in Matthew chapter 13 is really really one of the very archetypical, if that's the right word, parables. It's the parable that really sets the scene. It's the parable that lays the foundation for all other parables, and it's really fundamental to our understanding of so many of the other parables the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. One of the very good things about it is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ not only tells us the parable, but he also gives us the interpretation of it. So it's particularly good for the preacher, for we can not only tell you what the parable is, but we can tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ said that it meant as well. And that saves us maybe just from guessing what it means. So Matthew chapter 13, and we'll read these from verse number 1. The same day when Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some seeds, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And we're going to read the interpretation of the parable. We'll read that from verse 18. We look down at verse 18 of Matthew 13. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so we do look to the Lord for his help as we think about these verses together. You'll notice there, as we think about this parable of the sower and the seeds, you'll notice, won't you, at the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, just a little bit about the setting of the parable. It's maybe of some importance as we think about it. But in Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 1, you notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, he moves into a particular setting before he speaks about this parable of the sower and the seeds. He starts off at the beginning of the chapter, privately, and in a house, speaking to just a few people. But before he goes to speak about this parable of the sower going out to sow seeds, he moves out of the house and he's out from the private place and he's out into the public place, and he's going to speak not just to a few people, but he's going to speak to a multitude. In fact, he has to move down to the seashore, and he has to get into a boat, and he has to get the boat a little bit out from the shore, and there he is in his pulpit, standing in the boat and speaking to the multitudes as they're gathered on the shore. So we notice that the setting of this parable is a message that is preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's preached to the multitudes. Now, it's a nice thing, of course, for a preacher to have a good audience. It's good to look out and to see that there's a good interest, to see that people are interested enough to come and to listen, and to see that there is an interest in what is being said. And I'm sure that was a good thing as the Lord looked out and he saw that there was a multitude and that they were interested. Sometimes today, you know, it's difficult just to get people to come and to listen to the Word of God, but Yvonne and I, we went for a wee walk on Saturday out to Muir Kirk, and there was one of these notices about the Covenanters, and I was reading just a little bit about the Covenanters, and I hadn't realised, you know, that these conventicles that they had in the hillsides, where they were there, listening to the Word of God being preached, under threat of death, I hadn't realised there were such big affairs, that sometimes folks would gather in the middle of nowhere, under threat of death, and it said there was something in the region at times of 3,000, 4,000, 6,000 people who would gather to hear the Word of God preached, and they did that knowing that at any time they might be interrupted and that they might lose their lives just for coming and listening to the Word of God being preached. Well, it's good to see that kind of interest, and it would be good to see it today. And there at the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, we notice the Lord Jesus is speaking to the multitude, so that's good. There is something maybe just a little bit sad though in it all, for as the Saviour speaks to the multitude, and as he speaks about the sower, sowing seeds, he speaks to this multitude about a preacher. He speaks to them about a preacher who's going out, and he's sowing the good seed of the Word of God, and there is this in what he says, and it's all rather sad, and it's this, that as he looks out into the eyes of that multitude of people who are listening to his Word, who seem interested enough to come, he's really telling them this, that it's only but in the minority of you, it's only but in the few of you, it's only but a few of you who are gathered here today, that there's really going to be a work done for eternity. For the most of you, for the most of you who hear the Word of God, the most of you whom I'm speaking to today, says the Lord Jesus Christ, the most of you will wither away, you'll fall into the background, and there will be nothing done in your lives for eternity. So, as we read this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the multitude, we remember that, and we remember that in what the Lord Jesus Christ said, whilst the parable is very interesting indeed, it's also very sobering, and it's very challenging, but what the Saviour is really saying to this great mass of people, as they gather to hear the word of the Lord, and as you looked upon their faces, you would have thought that there was not much of a difference between them, and yet the Saviour says this, that out of you all, the majority of you, maybe 3 out of 4 of you, if we take the ratios from the parable, the majority of you, there won't be any real work done there for eternity. And so the Saviour speaks to them about the parable of the sower and the seed. He's going to speak to them there, as I'm sure you've noticed. He's going to speak to them about 3 things. He's going to speak to them about the sower, and he's going to speak to them about the seed. And he's going to speak to them too about the soil. He'll speak to them about a sower that goes out to sow. And he'll speak to them about a seed. And he'll speak to them about the soil. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he will explain what these things are. If you've got your Bibles open in Matthew chapter 13, and if you look down there towards the end of the chapter, down to about verse 37 there, the Lord Jesus Christ will tell you who the sower is. Verse 37 of Matthew 13. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So the sower here is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Saviour who's preaching. And maybe we could just say this tonight, that whilst the Lord Jesus Christ isn't here, or whilst the Lord Jesus Christ himself isn't preaching in the world personally at the moment, he has left that responsibility to those of us who open up the Word of God. And so those that would be responsible for preaching the Word of God tonight, we continue what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We open up his Word and we share what he has said and recorded here in his Word for us. So we can see the sower, and we'll think about the sower as being the preacher of the word of God. And then he speaks about the seed, and he tells us what the seed is too, if you look down there at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 13. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it, verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. So the seed is the word. The sower is the preacher, and the seed is the word. And then, of course, there is the soil. Well, what is the soil? Again, if you look down there at verse number 19, in chapter 13, he tells us what the soil is. Verse 19, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. It's sown in his heart. So the soil is his heart. The soil is his heart. So the Lord Jesus then will speak about these three things. He'll speak about the sower, the preacher. And he'll speak about the seed, the word of God. And he'll speak about the soil of the human heart. Now, I want you to notice this, that as we go down through the parable, two of those things are always the same, and one thing changes. The sower remains the same. He doesn't change. And the seed remains the same. It doesn't change. But the thing that changes each time is the soil. And sometimes that same preacher, sowing the same seed, he gets different results. Sometimes it brings fruit, and it grows. And sometimes it doesn't bring anything. But we notice this, you see, that when things don't go right, the problem doesn't lie with the sower, and the problem doesn't lie with the seed, but the problem lies with the soil. It lies with the heart. And tonight, when we sow the good seed of the word of God, when we tell men and women about their need of a saviour, when we speak about sin, the Bible tells us about sin in this word. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when the preacher tells us about sin, and when the preacher tells us about a saviour who loved us and who died for us at Calvary's cross, and when a preacher tells us that we need to be saved, we need salvation in our lives, we need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our saviour, then that preacher is sowing the good seed of the word of God. And when he does that, it's up to us. And if nothing much happens, then the problem doesn't lie with the preacher, and it certainly doesn't lie with the seed, but it lies with our heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak about that. He's going to speak about the heart. He's going to speak about the soil that that falls into. Now, maybe you noticed it. As we look down through that parable, the Lord Jesus speaks about four different kinds of soil. And we'll just spend a wee bit of time just thinking about those four kinds of soil. The sad thing, of course, is this, that only one of those soils are good. Only one of those hearts are good. Only one of those hearts bring forth fruit. The others are, well, the others really don't bring forth fruit. The Saviour will speak about seed that falls by the wayside. And we're going to think about that as really the place of distraction. The place of distraction. The soul that's distracted. For the Lord Jesus, he sows the seed. The person hears the word of God, but something happens. And before that person can understand the word of God, before that person can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they're distracted. Something happens in their life. And instead of that seed falling into the field, the fowl comes and it eats it up. Instead of the seed being for the field, it ends up in the belly of the fowl. And they're distracted. They hear the word of God. There's a message that's presented to them, but Satan's too quick for them. And he distracts their attention. And whilst their attention is distracted, the fowl comes down and picks it up. We live in a world, don't we, of mass distraction. Mass distraction. Satan's great technique today, I think, you know, it must be that. The day of mass distraction. When people are so busy, and oftentimes, sad to say, so busy with things that really do not matter. We live in a day, you know, when it seems to me that the world round about us, it doesn't want us to think about things. And every moment of our day, every second of our day, it has to be crammed with something. Something to stop us thinking. I hardly go into a home in the village on calls, but there's a television blaring somewhere in the corner, and you come in and you see someone, and the television's still blaring in the corner. Nobody's actually listening or paying attention to it, but it's there, and there's a noise. You can't buy a loaf of bread without having to listen to the radio. You know, it's a time of mass distraction. And people have to have something to distract their mind. And you see folk going for a walk and they've got their headphones on and they're listening to something, they're getting distracted. Telephones and mobile telephones and what a day of mass distraction it is. Well, here's the sower. And in that kind of environment, the sower is going out with the good seed of the Word of God. This is good stuff he's got. This is the seed of the Word of God that tells men and women, number one, about their sin. It tells people, number two, about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells about the Saviour, a Saviour who died on the cross for their sin. And it tells them, number three, about their need of salvation. This is the good seed of the Word of God. And the Saviour comes, the preacher comes, and he sows that seed, and they get distracted. And whilst we're distracted, the Saviour tells us what happens in verse 19. The wicked one cometh and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. He's too busy. And before he knows it, Satan has robbed him of his opportunity to get saved. I think, you know, maybe that would account for the position of most in the multitude. Distraction. The ground of distraction. And then there was a second kind of ground the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about. And down there, I'm looking at the second half of the parable. Down there, verse number 20. It seems, you know, to be an altogether different kind of ground. It seems to be a far more promising kind of ground. And if you were to look, you know, at that kind of ground, you would think that things were going very well. And verse 20 tells us about it. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So this is a different kind of ground. And if you were to look there at the initial response to that seed as it was sown in the ground, you would think that everything was going fine. Everything looks fine at the beginning. For the problem with this ground, it is not in the flower, it's not in what is on the surface. Everything looks fine on the surface, everything looks fine on the outside, but the problem here is with the root, it's with underneath. The seed has started to germinate. The earth is warm and it's wet, and that little seed that looks so unpromising is beginning to germinate. And the shoot sticks out from the top of the ground, and if you were just to look at it, you would think, well, there's a bit of promise for the future. And in fact, this person, they start very well. They show promise. They don't just say they're saved, but there's a real enthusiasm at the beginning. He receives the seed, and he heareth the word, and he with joy receiveth it. There's a great enthusiasm at the beginning. Not only do they say they're saved, but they're quite excited about it. And they're telling people about it. And there's a real joy there. And things seem to be going well at the beginning. And everything looks fine on the surface. But there's a problem. The problem is in the root. It doesn't go deep enough. It doesn't go hard enough. It doesn't bury itself deep enough in that person's heart. Again, you know, we come across, don't we, so many people today, and as I hear them speaking about Christian things, they speak to me about church. They speak to me about church. I know a lot of people like that. And they speak to us about going to church. And they speak to us about the message of the church. And they tell us that they're members of a church. And they put great emphasis upon their church. And it's a great thing, this church, they tell us. And you'll need to come along to our church. But that kind of thing, you know, it's not deep enough. It's not deep enough. And this person here who's touched by the seed of the Word of God, something begins to grow, but they don't really grasp reality.
Maybe they grasp religion, but they don't grasp reality. The root goes down so far, maybe it goes down to the depth of a church, but it misses the point. It doesn't go down deep enough. It doesn't reach really where that root needs to reach. You say, how far down does it need to go? Well, that root, you see, it really needs to go right the way down to be connected to Christ, and there's no substitute for that. And if as believers, if as people who have responded to the gospel, if we lay hold or if we rely or depend on anything but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is something that just won't do. It isn't going deep enough. This seed, it looks fine on the surface. Now, if you were to look at this person and compare them to a genuine Christian, you would think they were the same. The flower's fine. The thing on the surface is fine. But the root isn't deep enough. If you asked them, did they believe in the Lord Jesus, they would say they did. Maybe if you had asked them to tell you about the time they got saved, maybe they could do that. If you had asked them, were they baptized, then maybe they could say they were. If you asked them, were they a member of a church, then maybe they could tell you they were a member of a church. But the root isn't deep enough. It doesn't go down as deep as it needs to do. It doesn't reach Christ. And tonight we have to tell you that if you're going to be saved, and if you're going to go on, and if you're going to endure, that root, it needs to get right down into Christ. He that believeth on me, said the Lord Jesus, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I met a man a long time ago in Africa. He was a preacher, you know, and he thought he was a Christian. And he tried to live his Christian life for maybe 20 or 30 years, and nothing was happening. People weren't responding to his message, and life was a struggle. And he prayed for years, you know, he prayed to God that the Lord might show him what was wrong with his Christian life. And he speaks about that verse where the Lord Jesus Christ says in John's Gospel, he that believeth in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. And he came to this conclusion, he told me, he said, you know, for years I was relying upon religion. I was relying upon my church. I was relying upon my baptism. He said, but I wasn't relying upon Christ. It was missing. And this is the kind of ground that we've got here. It's a ground that looks fine on the surface, but the root isn't deep enough. And we tell you again tonight that for us to be saved, we have to put our faith and our trust in the Saviour. It's only Christ who can save us, nothing else. And so we have a ground here, and the root is not deep enough. This indeed is a ground of disappointment, for it's a ground that starts ever so well, but yet it ends ever so badly. And then we have a third kind of ground there, verse number 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So we have the ground there at the beginning, a ground of distraction. And then we have a ground of disappointment. And I want to suggest to you here, in this third kind of ground, we have a ground of deception. A ground of deception. You notice again, it's the same preacher, same sower. It's the same seed. There's nothing wrong with the sower, and there's nothing wrong with the seed. The preacher has told these people the same message as he's told the others. He's told them about their sin. That their sin is a dangerous thing. That their sin cannot be swept underneath the carpet. That their sin will bring upon them the judgment of God, and that something must be done about their sin. He's told them too about the Saviour. He's told them about a Saviour who loved them and who died for them at the cross of Calvary. And he's told them about their need of salvation. They need to put their trust in Christ, because Christ has died on the cross for their sin. So the seed's fine, nothing wrong with it. Came out of the same packet as the rest of them.
And the sower's the same. But the problem again is the soil. Again, you notice that at the beginning everything looks fine. It is sown in the ground and it starts to grow. But as it begins to grow, there's problems there, there's thorns. Something comes in, it starts well. But just as that new life is beginning to flourish, as it pokes its head through the surface of the soil, and as that little shoot stretches upwards to the sun, as it begins to grow, something happens, it gets strangled to death. Strangled to death. Full of good intentions, this seed. Intended to do well. Intended to serve Christ. Intended to go on for God. Intended that this experience of the Lord Jesus Christ would be a changing experience in their life. But as that little seed begins to show its head above the surface of the soil, in comes the thorns, and it gets choked to death. Says the Saviour, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the man. Ordinary things of life. This isn't anything supernatural. It isn't the devil this time who's responsible for the problems here. It's not the devil that comes in and steals it, as we saw in the first round. But this is ordinary things. Things that you and I have in our lives. The cares of this world, we all have them. We've all got families born into them. Perhaps some of us have our own families born to us. We've all got responsibilities and work and all of these kind of things. And the deceitfulness of riches. All of us use and need money every day of our life. These are ordinary things. But this person, these things, they become a burden. And they begin to get a bit distracted. And they begin to have their lives filled with things that really stop their spiritual growth. The deceitfulness of riches. This is the ground of deception. You say, what does the Saviour mean by the deceitfulness of riches? Does he mean that riches promise to make us happy and they don't make us happy? We know that. That would be true, wouldn't it? The newspapers and the magazines are full of that. Men and women who've got to the top of the pop industry or the film industry and they've got more riches than any of us all of us have together, and are the most unhappy creatures that this world has ever known. Is that what the Lord Jesus means? Does he mean that it promises us happiness and it doesn't bring it? I think he means more than that, you know. I think the best illustration of it is in a man called Judas Iscariot. We sometimes speak about Judas Iscariot as the man who sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Of course, the Bible doesn't say that. Judas didn't sell his soul for 30 pieces of silver. You remember what happened to Judas? You remember how he betrayed his Lord? And you remember how he received into his hand 30 pieces of silver? Do you remember what happened to him? You remember that as he looked at that silver, and as he looked at the Saviour that he had betrayed, he saw that there was an emptiness in that silver, and he took his silver, and he took it back to the place that he got it, and he threw it onto the floor of the temple, and there it lay in the temple, glistening in the moonlight of the Passover Eve. And Judas Iscariot, disgusted with himself and what he had done, he went out and he got a piece of rope, he tied a knot in it, he put it over his neck, and he strangled himself to death. Now, Judas didn't sell his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Basic arithmetic will tell us that. But if Judas Iscariot got 30 pieces of silver for his soul, and there lay on the temple floor 30 pieces of silver, then that means that Judas Iscariot sold his soul for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And there is the deceitfulness of riches. We think that when we have it, we've got something to do it. We think that it's a valuable and a useful use of our time and our life to pursue after it, but it isn't. For in the end of the day, those riches and those material things that we have, they add nothing of value to our soul, nothing at all. Absolutely nothing of value to our soul, and we leave all of it behind of us. And it's only our soul that appears before God. And here's a person, you see, and they've got distracted. They thought, you see, it was ever so important to lay up for themselves riches on earth. They thought that was an important thing, a useful thing, a good thing to do. They thought it was good to invest their time and their efforts and their energies into getting material things. And all of their life, it passes through their fingers. Nothing's done for Christ. And they've got what they wanted, but it's all left behind. The deceitfulness of it. So three very disappointing grounds there. The ground of distraction. Satan has taken away the seed. A ground of disappointment that started well, but it just doesn't go anywhere. And a ground of deception, but there's one left. One ground. One heart, one soil that the seed is sown into, and something is done for God, and it's done for eternity. Verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Lord Jesus said, suffer the little children, didn't he? I can't even put them off the platform then. 160 and 30. You know, the Saviour is looking for salvation. He's looking for you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Saviour is looking for you to see him as the only Saviour. He's looking for you to realise your need of a Saviour, to see that there's sin in your life. He's looking for you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. But he's looking for more than that. He's looking for fruitfulness. He's looking for that life to really bring something forth that's of use and of value to him. He's looking for a life that's going to be taken, and instead of it being used for what I want or what you want, we take that life and we give it over to Christ, and Christ uses it for his honour and glory. Sad that only one out of four met that, wasn't it? But that's what God's looking for. He's looking for soil that receives the word of God, lives that are changed and lived to his glory, and that indeed is the Saviour. Is the good ground. He that heareth the word, and he understands it, and he bears fruit. Good to hear it. You've heard it tonight. I hope you've understood it. It would be great to see lives that are bearing fruit for God, lives that are lived for his glory. Shall we pray?
Our Father, we do come before thee, and we do give thanks for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for these lessons that we've learned. And we do pray, our Father, that our souls would hear of the person of the Lord Jesus, as they would hear of their sin and of a Saviour who loved them and died for them. We do pray indeed, our Father, that there would be those who would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own. We ask, our Father, that each of our lives might be lived for thy honour and glory. We pray, our Father, that our lives might be fruitful. And we ask our Father for fruit to be born for eternity. So part us with thy blessing, we ask, as we return thanks in Jesus' name.